Have you ever heard someone make a comment like this? They say, well, you know, I just feel as though God has called me. Or you might hear someone make the statement, so-and-so has been called of God, or they've got the calling. Sounds ominous, doesn't it? Sounds almost like you got the plague or caught the flu or something like that. But what does it mean when someone says, I have a call from God, or God has called me to do something? Well, if you've been around Baptist life at all, in fact, if you've been around Christian life very long, you know that when someone talks about a calling from God, it is a reference to feeling as though God is saying something directly to them about some service they are to perform for the Lord. Now, we've heard it many, many times, but let me ask you a question. Have you ever wondered if God might be calling you to do something? Have you ever wondered if the call of God is real on your life? And the other question is this: if God is calling you, would you know it? Would you recognize the call of God on your life? If God comes a calling, would you know that He's calling? Well, that's a good question, and that's the question we're going to deal with this morning. Take your Bible, if you will. I want you to turn, if you will, to a very classic passage, a very familiar one, the book of Isaiah and the 6th chapter. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And we're going to talk for a moment this morning about when God comes a calling, or when God calls you. Now, if you've been with us, you know we have for some time been involved in a series that we've entitled Hearing from God. And we've been going through the Bible asking the questions, does God speak? And if God speaks, can we hear? And if we hear, what is God saying? And we've learned that our God, listen carefully, our God is a God who still speaks today. David in Psalm 29 said, the voice of God is over all the earth. You have within you what we've called a knower. You have a human spirit, and when that human spirit comes alive through Jesus Christ, it can commune with God's Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God will bear witness, His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And so we've been talking about how we can listen in on the voice of the Lord. Now, already we've talked about a number of things. Just to bring you up to date in case you're new, we began by talking about some who miss out on the voice of God because they don't pay attention and don't want to know what God is saying. Then we spent some time talking about what I call sound barriers, things that muffle the voice of God, like chaos and ego and bitterness and iniquity in your life. And then we talked a little bit about the characteristics of God's voice, that God speaks sometimes in a surprising way, and He speaks in that still, quiet voice of the Spirit and very specifically to the need of your life. And then we talked about the quietness of God. One Sunday night, we addressed the fact that there are occasions when God chooses to go silent. And I said, God will choose to go silent for a lot of reasons. To test your faith, to see what you're made of spiritually, to motivate you to obey, many different reasons, to get your attention. And then last Sunday morning, we began talking about how to put yourself in a position to hear from God. And I gave you three words. I said you must first seek, and then test, and then move. Seek a word from God, test the message that you receive, and then move in the direction God is telling you to go. Now, that brings us up today. This morning, we want to take it one step further. And today we want to talk specifically about hearing God when He calls you to serve Him in some way, the calling of God on your life. Now, before I get into this, please look up here and listen. I need to make two qualifying statements before I get in this passage of Scripture. The first statement is this. Guys, I want you to know that I believe God is calling you. In fact, I believe that everyone is called of God. I want to make this very clear because I'm afraid that in our first service, there were some who heard what I was talking about and they assumed it would be a message for only two or three people that God was going to call in a unique way. Hear me when I say this. God calls all of us. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in this place has some kind of calling from God. You are not the exception to the rule. God calls everyone. The Bible says He gives His beloved sweet gifts, grace gifts, and He challenges us to use those gifts for Him. You're called of God. The second thing, though, I want to say in qualifying this is not only do I believe everyone is called of God, but I believe everybody's call is equal to everybody else's call. I don't believe anybody is called to anything higher than anybody else. Every once in a while, someone says, well, Pastor, you've answered a higher call. Well, what does that mean? What is a higher call? And what is the highest call that a person can have? Let me be clear about this. The highest calling of God is whatever He calls you to do. You are in the highest calling if you're obedient to Him. You see, when God created you, He had in mind a certain design to do certain things with your life. And when you answer that call, you are in the highest calling of God. Let me put it this way. If God called me to be a preacher, a pastor, teacher, then that's the highest calling I could ever have in my life. But if God called me to be a missionary, that would be the highest calling. But if He called me to be a doctor or a lawyer or a school teacher, or if God called me to be a factory worker, sharing my faith with other factory workers on the assembly line, that would be the highest calling of God I could ever answer. In fact, if I'm a preacher and God called me to be the president of the United States, and yet I'm a preacher, I've missed the highest calling. But if God called me to be president and I became, or God called me to be a preacher, what did I just say? Well, you know what I'm talking about. Whatever is the high, whatever God calls you to, that is the highest calling. I started talking about the president and I got all messed up here. Whatever God says you're to do is the highest calling of God. And I tell you, the day will come when you will hear the exact same words from the Father. If you're faithful to your calling, you'll hear the Father say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." In fact, I don't believe that Billy Graham is going to hear any other words other than that, nor the backwoods Baptist preacher faithfully serving the Lord somewhere in a little church with a dozen people. If you're answering God's call, it is the highest call you can answer. All right, now, with that said, however, the question is, how do you know God's calling you? What is the call of God like? Well, a classic passage about the calling of God is Isaiah chapter 6. Let me set the scene. The story here is the story of a man named Isaiah. Isaiah has a powerful vision of God, and out of that powerful vision, he hears a definite call, and he answers it. To set the scene, this is the time when King Uzziah had died. Now, Uzziah was a great king. It was a very traumatic time. He died in a very tragic way, but he was a great king. And Isaiah has now gone into the temple seeking God, and God shows himself to Isaiah, and Isaiah hears this call. Now, let's read it together. Look in verse 1. The Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I," that's Isaiah, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew, and one cried to another, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin is purged.' I heard the voice of the Lord saying," now watch this, "'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" One more time, read verse 8. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Now what's going on in the passage? Well, Isaiah has a powerful vision. And out of that vision, he hears a definite call from God. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're saying, "Wait a minute. Pastor, you said a moment ago that this was a classic passage about the call of God. And if this is how you think God calls people, then I want you to know I've never been called, because I have never had any kind of experience like this. I've never had a vision of God in a temple anywhere." Well, let me explain something to you very quickly. Isaiah's call was unique in some ways. And his call was extraordinary in some ways. But in other ways, his call was very common and very ordinary. Let me tell you how. In the calling of Isaiah, there are four basic elements that were true of his call that are true of every person's call. Now, hear me when I say this. Whatever it is God is calling you to do, these four things are going to be true in that call. And please remember, we're not just talking about people called to be a preacher. We're talking about whatever calling God has for your life. Well, let's dig in and let's do it in a hurry. I want to give you four words this morning around which to build your understanding of God's calling. Here's the first one. Write it down. It is the word intimacy. And the first thing I want to say to you about the calling of God, no matter what it is He's calling you to do, God's call on your life is going to be born in a relationship of intimacy. In other words, in order for you to really hear what God is saying, you must be close enough to hear. There must be an intimate relationship with Almighty God, or you're not really hearing from Him. There must be that intimate relationship. That's exactly what's happening in this passage of Scripture. Remember a moment ago that I told you that this was a traumatic time? King Uzziah had died. Now that in itself was bad enough. We've seen something of the turmoil that causes. Last week or so, when we saw witnessed the turmoil, the upset over King Hussein's death in Jordan, all the people who are wailing, weeping, crying, transport that back in time thousands of years to the day of Isaiah. And you get some idea what the people were going through. It was an emotionally traumatic time, but it was even more so for Isaiah. Now the reason I say that is because Bible scholars tell us that Isaiah was not just a subject of the king. He was probably a relative of the king. Most Bible scholars believe that at the very least he was a good friend, and probably more than that. He was probably a first cousin to King Uzziah. Uzziah was much older, Isaiah much younger, but they were related. Now get the picture. Here's Isaiah in a very emotionally troubling time in his life. And what is he doing? True to his character, true to his nature, he's gone into the temple seeking God. That's the kind of person Isaiah was. He was a man who had an intimacy with God. He knew God. Jesus said it like this, "My sheep know me, and they hear my voice and follow." Now you must know him to hear his voice. And this calling that you think he's giving you, if you don't have an intimate relationship with him, you probably aren't hearing from him. Every once in a while, someone will come along saying, "You know, I just think God's calling me to do something." By the way, I've noticed something. You may notice this too. Usually during transition times of life, we think God's calling us to do things. Here's a woman who goes through a divorce and she says, well, maybe God's calling me now to do something. Here's a man in the middle of his midlife crisis. And all of a sudden he says, "You know, I think maybe I ought to serve God in some way. Yeah, maybe God's calling me to do something." And yet you know these people, and you know that before this, there was no intimacy with God. They weren't walking close with Him. They didn't have the kind of relationship that the Bible describes, Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, hungering to be close to Him. There was no passion for God. It's just that suddenly they're in transition, and they start saying, "Maybe God's calling." Well, let me put it to you very clearly. You must be close enough to Him to hear Him call, for Him to call. I read some time ago about G. Campbell Morgan, great preacher of years ago. On one occasion, he had invited another preacher to speak at an anniversary service in his church. 3 weeks had gone by, and the other preacher had not responded. So Dr. Morgan sent another letter, thinking the first had been lost in the mail. When the other preacher got that letter, he sent a note back saying to Dr. Morgan, "I received your first correspondence, but I've been waiting on a word from God about this." When G. Campbell Morgan got that letter from him, he wrote another note back to the man, rescinding the invitation with this rejoinder. He said, I have decided I don't want any man speaking in my anniversary service who is so far away from God it takes him 3 weeks to hear his voice. Now, I don't know whether Morgan was right to say that or not, but there's a message there. You want to know what God's calling you to do? That relationship with Him is what that call is going to be born out of. Intimacy with Almighty God. You have a relationship with Him? Sometimes young people talk about how they just don't know what God's calling them to do. My question is this: are you close enough to hear Him when He calls? I love what Jeremiah had to say about it. Jeremiah said, "Let he who is rich boast not in his riches, nor he who is strong boast in his strength, but let a man boast in this alone, that he knows Him." Isn't that a great statement? Let a man boast in this alone, that he knows Him. In fact, let me tell you how God measures your potential to serve Him. This may surprise you. He doesn't look upon your abilities. He doesn't see or look upon your education. He doesn't look at your appearance. The way God measures your potential to serve Him is by the depth of your relationship with Him. Can I say that again? The way God measures your potential to serve Him is by the depth of your relationship with Him. The deeper that relationship, the greater the potential you have of doing anything for God. In fact, the Bible is full of stories of people who were greatly religious, had all kinds of things going for them, but God didn't use them. Have you ever read of the Pharisees? The Pharisees in the New Testament were people who were greatly religious. In fact, they were so religious they even would tithe the herbs growing in their garden. But God never used them in a mighty way. Why? They didn't have a deep relationship with Him. So let me ask you, you're searching for what God has in your life. You want to know God's calling? Here's the first question. Do you have a relationship intimate enough with Him that if God calls, you'll be able to hear what God is saying? Now let me give you a second word. The first word is the word intimacy. The second word I want to give you is the word urgency. Write that one down as well. Here's how this thing works. When God's call comes to you, it will be born in a relationship of intimacy, but it will produce in you a sense of urgency, a desire to do a particular thing. Let me show you something. Take your Bible, go back and look in Isaiah chapter 6. Now you need to understand, this is a powerful passage of Scripture. The imagery here is dramatic, it's dynamic. Isaiah describes this vision. He sees the Lord high and lifted up, His robe, the train of His robe filling the temple, smoke fills the house. The Bible says the very foundation is shaken as though an earthquake occurs. But let me tell you the most dynamic part of this vision. It isn't what Isaiah sees, it's what Isaiah says after he hears the call of God. Watch this. Look in verse 8. Isaiah said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?" By the way, do you notice an incongruity here, a discrepancy here? He says, "Whom shall I send?" That's singular. "Who shall go for us?" That's plural. How can it be both? Bible scholars are very quick to point out that this may be an Old Testament reference to the triune nature of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says it's holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the thrice holy God of Israel. Holy is the Father, holy is the Son, holy is the Spirit. But now notice what happens. In verse 8, it says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Now I'm afraid if you're not careful, you'll miss the intensity of that statement. Isaiah didn't cower down and say, "Well, I'll go." Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Now I know this is not the way it happened, but I cannot help. When I read this passage, you know what comes to my mind? Have you ever been in a third or fourth grade class and the teacher asked the students for a volunteer? And one of the kids says, me, pick me. Now, I don't think Isaiah jumped up in the middle of the temple and said, me, God, pick me. But there's a sense in which there's that kind of urgency to this statement. God, I want to serve you. Let me ask you this question, and please hear me. Is there an urgency inside of you to do something, a desire of your heart? Now remember, we're not talking about preaching necessarily. We're not talking about becoming a minister. We're not talking about becoming a missionary. I'm asking you this. Is there a desire in you that won't go away? An urgent desire of some sort. Maybe God seems to be calling you to go to a certain school or go into a certain profession. And it's there in your heart and you want to do it. There's that desire. There's that urgency. Did you know that almost every time God called anyone to do anything, He placed within them the urgent desire to do it? Here's how Jeremiah described it. In Jeremiah 30, he said, "There is within me, as it were, a fire shut up in my bones." And he said, "I grow weary trying to hold it in." The Apostle Paul said it like this, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Is there an urgent desire in you to serve God in some way, to do something with your life? That's part of the calling. In fact, there's a standard response. Every once in a while, someone will come up and they'll say, "Pastor, I think maybe God's calling me to do something." And my standard response, and I've said this to some of you who are sitting here, my standard response is to ask this question, "Do you think there is anything else you can do and feel satisfied doing it? Do you think there's anything else you can do and feel just as fulfilled as doing this thing?" And if they say to me, "Well, I'm not sure, maybe there's something else just as satisfying," I will usually say to them and say to you, "Then go do that." So, "Well, I think God's calling me to preach, but I could be satisfied." No. I want you to know, when God calls you to do something, whatever it is, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, there's that urgency inside of you. In fact, that's the way it is with me. In my own ministry, from time to time, I don't know if other pastors do this. We have other pastors sitting here this morning. But let me tell you how I am. From time to time, I reevaluate my call in ministry. In fact, I do that every Monday morning. In fact, I do that sometimes in between these worship services. And I ask God, I said, God, am I doing what you want me to do? God, am I in your will? Is this your calling of my life? And sometimes I get very specific, and I ask God. I said, God, am I still supposed to be pastor of First Baptist Church of Cleveland, Tennessee? And then I ask myself the question, is there anything else at this time in my life that I could do and feel just as fulfilled and certain that I'm in God's will? Now, don't you misunderstand. There are probably other things I can do. I'm not stupid. I could probably do some other things. If I ever learn how to run the computer, I could do a whole lot more, but I can do some things. But I asked myself that question. I said, is there anything else I can do? And the reality is, no. There's still inside of me that urgency to serve the Lord. Let me ask you the question. Is there anything in your life that you feel an urgency toward? Let me give you a third word very quickly in this simple message. The first is the word intimacy. The second, the word urgency. The third word sounds a little funny. It's the word inadequacy. Let me tell you what a call of God will do for you. It will be born in a relationship of intimacy. It will produce a sense of urgency. But when God's really calling you, it will reveal your own inadequacies. Your first response, I promise you, listen, I promise if God's calling you, your first response is going to be, I can't do that. I can't do that. Whenever God calls, the first thing that will happen is you'll realize that of yourself, it can't be done. In fact, if you think it can and you feel competent, then I would say to you, you're not hearing God's call. Let me show you what Isaiah says. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I don't want you to get the idea that when Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me, that he was saying, God, I'm your man, I can do it. In fact, he felt very inadequate. Look in verse 5. Isaiah writes, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Can I paraphrase that for you quickly? He was saying, I'm not worthy to do this. He realized that a holy God was calling him to declare a holy word to an unholy world, and he said, I'm just as unholy as the rest of them. I'm not worthy. I can't do this. I'm inadequate to do this job. In fact, I've noticed something. All through the Bible, every time God calls someone, they respond by recognizing their inadequacy. Let me give you some examples. God said to Abraham, I will make you the father of a great nation. What did Abraham say? He said, Lord, I'm too old. I'm nearly 90 years old. Don't even have a child. I can't do that. God called Moses at the burning bush. You know what Moses said? He said, but Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I'm slow of tongue. That literally means he had a speech impediment. Probably stuttered. Did you know Moses probably stuttered? God called Moses. He said, but I can't do it. God called Joshua to follow Moses. You know what Joshua said? He said, I'm no Moses. God called Elijah in the cave, and Elijah said, I'm too afraid. He called Jeremiah to be a prophet. Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm too young to be your prophet. God called Gideon. He said, Gideon, you'll be my mighty man of valor. Gideon said, but Lord, I'm from the tribe of Manasseh, and my family's the least of the tribe, and I'm the least in my family. I can't do it, Lord. And write down the list. Every person God ever called, their first reaction was, God, I can't do it. I just can't do it. When God called Peter, Peter looked at Christ and he said, Lord, turn away from me. I'm a sinful man. And even Paul, the greatest theologian, pastor, missionary combination that's ever lived. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I am the least of the apostles and I'm chief among sinners. And when he described what God had called him to do, he described it like this. He said, God has placed a precious treasure in an earthen vessel. Do you understand what that means? It means that God had given the gospel to him and he was totally unworthy, inadequate. Everything God ever calls you to do, I promise you, if God's calling, your first response is to say, God, I don't think I can. I'm unable. I'm inadequate. Do you remember when I first started this series about 3 weeks ago? I said one of the reasons people don't listen for God's voice is they're afraid God will call them outside their comfort zone. Hear me again. That is a legitimate concern. I really believe God never calls you in the comfort zone. He calls you outside the comfort zone. Anytime you feel completely confident to do something you think God's calling you to do, it's probably not God's call in your life. I've never in my life felt that God ever called me to do anything at the moment I was capable of doing. I've pastored my first church at the age of 20. I'd flunked out of college. That first church had 17 people in it. I thought, my God, what have you gotten me into? How in the world am I ever going to minister to 17 people? How am I going to take care of their needs? I'm 20 years old. I've only been a Christian for a year and a half. God, I feel so inadequate. And that was true. I was inadequate. And it's never been any different. Every church I've ever pastored, my first response is, God, I can't do that. When I came here as your pastor and you gave me this wonderful vote of confidence, you voted unanimously to call me. I don't know how many votes you had to take to get that, but you voted unanimously. And I remember when Marion Cook called me that day to tell me the church had voted to call me. I told Marion, I said, well, Marion, I'm going to have to pray about it some more. Marion thought he'd go that night and give an answer, but I couldn't. I felt so inadequate to do what God had called me to do. In fact, if you feel confident, it is an indication you're not doing God's will. That's not what God's called you to do. Years ago, I had a man in a church where I pastored. Every year when deacon elections rolled around, he always wanted to be elected and serve as a deacon. And every year, the church refused to elect him as a deacon. And every year, he and his wife did the same thing. They would threaten to quit the church. They would say, he's just as capable and worthy as anybody else. You know what that told me? That told me the church knew exactly what it was doing when it didn't call that man to serve. If God's call is on your life, there will be about you the realization that you can't do it. Jesus himself said, of myself, I can do nothing. But now there's one last word I want to give you, then we'll be through. The first is the word intimacy. The second, the word urgency. The third, the word inadequacy. The fourth is the word sufficiency. Let me tell you how the calling of God works. It's born in a relationship of intimacy. It produces a sense of urgency. It reveals your own inadequacy, but it gives to you a promise of God's sufficiency. Whenever you're sure God's calling, along with that call will be this sense, this promise, this understanding, though you can't, God can. Let me show you what Isaiah learned. In this passage of Scripture, Isaiah learned that if God enlists, then God will enable. And whenever God calls to the work, God equips for the task. In Isaiah chapter 6, there are two great truths that Isaiah learned. He learned, number one, that God was still on the throne. King Uzziah had died, but the King of Kings was still alive. That's what he means in this verse at the end of verse 5. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The whole nation was in an uproar. They didn't know what was going to happen. And Isaiah learned God was still on the throne. He'd not lost control. But there's a second thing he learned. He learned that whatever the need of his life, God would touch him at that point of need. Let me show you something. Look in verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Now let me paraphrase that very quickly for you. Isaiah felt inadequate. The reason he felt inadequate is because he felt unworthy. So here's what God did for him. The seraphim in the vision flew over, took a coal from the altar, came back to Isaiah, laid that coal upon his lips. And he said, now, you're no longer unworthy. You feel unworthy to serve me? Okay, I take care of it. I meet you at the point of that need in your life. Now let me tell you how this plays out for all of us. When God calls you, whatever your inadequacy, that becomes His opportunity to display His strength. Are you listening? Hudson Taylor said it like this: God's work done in God's way will always have God's supply. I don't know what this says to you, but I will tell you what it says to me. Whatever it is God calls me to do, God is able to do it through me. I tell you, with all the unction I can muster, I've never thought I was capable of serving God. But I never doubted that God was sufficient to work through me. I never thought once in all these 25 years of ministry, I've never thought that I was equipped and I was the person and I was God's man, totally able to do it. But I never doubted that if God was calling, God would make it possible. Every time I've answered the call of God, God has been sufficient. Now, this is a very simple message, and I'm going to leave it in a very simple way. I don't know what God's been calling you to do. For 3 or 4 weeks now, we've been talking about the voice of God. I do believe God speaks. And hear me. And I want you to know, I'm not just talking about a God who calls a few people. I'm talking about a God who speaks to you. What is He saying? Whatever He's calling you to do, you probably won't be able to do in your own strength. But if God's calling, He is sufficient to do it through you. Maybe the thing you've been wrestling with the last few weeks is not some act of service or something to do for God. Maybe you've been wrestling with the whole question of the Christian life. God's been dealing with you, and God's been calling you to walk with Him, to become a believer in Christ. And you've thought, well, I can't do that. I'm not ready. I can't live this Christian life. I've got too much weakness in my life, too many sins. You're absolutely right. Let me tell you the truth about the Christian life. It isn't difficult. It's impossible. You will never live the Christian life in your own energy. Let me put it to you this way. Stop worrying about all that stuff. Don't worry about cleaning up your act. Don't worry about getting things straight. Don't worry about fixing your sins. You can't. You just respond to Him, and He can. The Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Scripture says He will work in you to do, to will and do His good pleasure. So I want to leave you in this series with this one statement. If you hear Him, whatever He tells you to do, He'll make it possible for you to do. Your job is not to figure out how. Your job is simply to say, yes, Lord. And when you hear Him say, you respond. And He is sufficient. Let's pray together. Father, for these weeks we have dealt with a very difficult subject. We have dared to believe that You still speak. We've dared to believe that You have a specific calling for Your people. We've dared to believe that You're more than just an abstract idea, that You're a living presence, and that You, the God of the universe, through Your Holy Spirit, could speak to us and our human spirit. I know there are people sitting here right now who still don't believe that. But they don't believe it because they've never tuned in to hear You. And I know, Father, there are those who are sitting here who haven't quite understood that when we talked about God calling, we were talking about them. It's so easy for us to think that You call one or two or three or four, that in a church You call some to be deacons and pastors, and then the rest are off the hook. Father, help us to know that everyone You created for a purpose. Whether little babies with problems, or Father, every person in this room, You have a purpose for our life. I pray that we would hear and we would respond. Now, Father, for those who simply need to come and hear Your voice and respond by joining the church, or hear Your voice and come seek someone to pray with them about their salvation. For those who've heard You call them to baptism, for any and every decision that needs to be made this morning publicly, we pray You'd give them the courage to take that stand that one step toward the Savior when they hear you calling. Thank you for our time together and for this series in your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.